Our second scripture reading today comes from the book of Luke, chapter 17, verses 11 to 19. Listen now to the word of God. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God. Your faith has made you well. So true. Your faith in Jesus that inspires you to follow his way can contribute to your well-being in big and important ways. Especially when it comes to being grateful to God, no matter what happens in your life. My mother, who recently died at age 97 and a half, worked very hard to have a grateful attitude in all her life. And I say worked very hard at it because I don't think she was born with a cheery disposition. I think she went through a lot of hardships. I know she went through a lot of hardships. She had a very serious but loving mother, and she struggled for attention and resources with her 2 older sisters. Yet she found a way to be happy and positive most of her life. This, I believe, explains why she lived such a long, happy life. After she passed, I found she had this poem cut out and pasted in one of her old photo albums. And it shows the attitude of gratitude she was striving for. It says, "Thank you, God, for little things that often come our way, the things we take for granted but don't mention when we pray, the unexpected courtesy, the thoughtful, kindly deed, a hand reached out to help us in the time of sudden need. Oh, make us more aware, dear God, of little daily graces that come to us with sweet surprise from never dreamed of places." I thought that was very sweet. And it's true, she really read that often, and it was so important to her that she put it in her photo album. And in an article by Martin Seligman and Dr. Tracy Steen on positive psychology progress, they define positive psychology as an umbrella term for the study of positive emotions and positive character traits. The authors analyzed 6 virtues and 24 character strengths, that they called them, that they define within positive psychology. One virtue, what's kind of an overriding virtue, is what they called transcendence. And it's the ability to cope with and transcend the problems of daily life. The character strengths that go along with transcendence are many. But listen for those that also connect with what we promote in our Christian faith. Appreciation of beauty and excellence. Gratitude, hope, humor, and religiousness. I was really surprised to find the word religiousness in the list. Approaching life with excitement and energy. interpersonal strengths that involve tending and befriending others. I like that, tending and befriending. Doing favors and good deeds for others. Valuing close relations with others. Being aware of the motives and feelings of self and others. Promoting a healthy community life. Treating all people the same according to notions of fairness and justice. Organizing group activities and seeing that they happen. Working well as a member of a group or a team. Strengths that protect against excessive materialism and elitism. Forgiving those who have done wrong. Letting one's accomplishments speak for themselves, not boasting. Being careful about one's choices, not saying or doing things that might later be regretted. Regulating what one feels and does. And strengths that forge connections to the larger universe and provide meaning and purpose to your life. Noticing and appreciating beauty, excellence in all domains of life. Being aware of and thankful for the good things that happen. Expecting the best and working to achieve it. Liking to laugh and tease, bringing smiles to other people. Like Don Marshall always does. And Don isn't here today. Having coherent beliefs about the higher purpose and meaning of life. All of the above that I've listed reflects the church, doesn't it? And what we are all about and what we strive to do and be within the church and what we promote outside of the church. All of the above that I just mentioned reflect the way God wants us to live for our well-being. And many of these same character strengths are specifically prescribed in the Bible. They are promoted in Christ's message and demonstrated in his ministry too. For instance, treating all people the same according to fairness and justice was the reason Jesus highlighted that the one leper that was grateful was a Samaritan out of the 10 who were healed. Samaritans at that time were looked down upon as less than others because they were, quote, foreigners from another place, and they were not Jews. And this grateful leper received a special kind of healing for his demonstration of gratitude to Jesus. He was showing the power and the healing power of gratitude in this story. Paul also summed up a prescription for gratitude leading to peace in my favorite passage in all the Bible, which is Philippians 4, 8, and 9. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. And this is a general understanding in all the world, and yet people forget that it came from the Bible. A lot of people do. Barry Neal Kaufman said this about gratitude. He said, gratitude is one of the sweet shortcuts to finding peace of mind and happiness inside. No matter what is going on outside of us, there's always something we could be grateful for. And Jack Kornfield is a promoter of gratitude as a healing force, he calls it. He says, being grateful for not only life's blessings, but also its suffering is a key component of living a spiritual life. And more broadly, to a fulfilling and meaningful life. According to Cornfield, though, it is important to cultivate an appreciation for all that life has to offer, the good and the bad. And Cornfield also believes that an attitude of gratitude can be healing to the body, mind, and spirit, but it takes cultivating mindfulness, which leads to emotional regulation, steady attention, and physical healing. Out of that, he says, grows naturally the spirit of gratitude. He says, it turns out, like all good things, mindfulness and gratitude feed one another. And Jack also said, we can either be lost in a smaller state of consciousness, what in Buddhist psychology is called a body of fear, which brings suffering to us and others, or we can bring the quality of love and appreciation, which he calls gratitude, to life. And out of this research for this sermon, I recently discovered there's a whole community of scientists in Berkeley who have formed what's called the Greater Good Science Center to promote science-based insights for a meaningful life. And this poster is on their website. And it may be a little hard to read the details, but it gives all the scientific reasons for why you should be grateful. It says one of the things is that grateful people have an income 7% higher than not grateful people. I know, isn't that funny? And 13% get in fewer fights, so that's good. Grateful teens are less likely to start smoking, or vaping now, we would say. Gratitude is related to age. For every 10 years, gratitude increases by 5%. So I do think that as we get older, my dad anyway, became more mellow, and he did become, I think, more grateful for what he had. Instead, he used to be the Murphy's Law guy. If anything bad could happen, it would. Especially when I had the car. But now, well, as he aged, he died when he was only 74, but I think he had probably another 10, 20 years of life because he quit smoking at age 55, and he did learn to be more and more grateful for what he had and less anxious. And there's a website that Greater Good Science Center has called greatergood.berkeley.edu, and you can put /topic/gratitude and find all this research about what the benefits of gratitude are for your life. And Arianna Huffington, who has become famous as the founder and president of the Huffington Post, she's now the author of 14 books also. And her most recent book she wrote includes information about the healing power of gratitude, and it's called Thrive, the third metric in redefining success and creating a life of well-being, wisdom, and wonder. And she states, I've come to believe that living in a state of gratitude is the gateway to grace. And we would put it as, Jesus and following his way is the main gateway to grace. All of his teachings were based on living a life of gratitude and love for God. And I found this picture of my late mother and my late doggy, Buddy Taylor. Together, their peaceful faces show that they both, even our animals, can live lives of gratitude. Taylor would wag his tail no matter what. And when my brother came to visit, he said, I've never seen a dog wag his tail in a circle before. And he would. Taylor would wag his tail in a circle. And their lives of gratitude and grace really led them to experience much happiness for many years. And so I'm grateful for the role modeling they gave me as well. So may it be so with you. Thanks be to God. Amen.